Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. Ag Business Associates, Nishna Valley Credit Union, bringing you the program each week. We've got the usual suspects in here with us this week, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Molnix, and myself, Chris Parks. And we're going to get right after it here as we let you know how we did in week two and get ready for week number three of action here for you. As we'll take a look back at last week here first as we get started. Matt and myself both going 5-3. Jim went 4-4, and Doug was 3-5 last week. So we've got myself and Matt tied at 11-5 at the top. Jim's one game back at 10-6, and Doug at 8-8 here after a couple weeks of action. How it went last week, it was Fremont Mills defeating Audubon 39-21 in a back-and-forth game that we had for you on the radio. And that was a winner for Matt and myself. And for the Cam Cougars, they were winners at home over Stanton, big, 54-28. We all had that one correct, so we all got that right. Exira EHK went on the road to Sydney and won it pretty impressively, 43-8. We all had the Spartans in that one. St. Albert won a home game 30-20 over Trainer. That was a winner for myself and for Jim. Matt and Doug lost out on that one. HSTW, a shutout at home over Shenandoah, 45-0. We all had the Vikings there. We all got that one right. Clarinda gave up a lead and lost to Red Oak. 28-21 was the final. None of us had that one correct. We all took Clarinda in that ball game. Harlan gave up their lead as well, and they got beat by Sergeant Bluff Luton, 34-32. That was a winner for Matt. He went out on a limb, and that track team came through for him, Doug. He got it done last week.
I know. I was wrong about that.
And then Atlantic was a loser at home to Creston Orient Maxburg, 43-20 the final there. We all had the Trojans, so we all got that one incorrect. So that's how week number two went. We'll get started with our week three picks when we come back in a moment here on Who's Gonna Win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's get started with week three. We'll start off with a couple of eight-man contests, and, the Audubon Wheelers, they get to go right back to work against another tough opponent on the road as they will take on Exira EHK, a 2-0 Spartan team, 1-1 Wheelers, and guess who wants to go first here? Did Matt have the most impressive sheet? He had a limb pick, so I'm gonna go with him.
Okay, all right, that's how we'll decide this week. Okay. All right, sounds good. Okay, so I get the first pick here. We got Audubon, who took a loss last week, their first loss of the season over at Fremont Mills, as Fremont Mills bounced back from their loss in week one to Exira EHK. So here we go. We get both these teams have common opponents. Exira EHK been very impressive in their first 2 weeks so far. Coming into the season, I think some things are coming through. They're starting to show some strengths in there. I think their big guys up front have been playing awfully well for them. But this is always going to be a tough one. This is starting to turn into a little bit of a rivalry as both teams playing eight-man now with Audubon in there. So they're both they're right down the road from one another. This week I'm going to give the edge to Exira EHK at home. And I think Audubon might have a couple injuries, but I think Exira EHK, the Spartans, are looking tough, and so far they've stayed away from the injury bug.
All right, that's one for the Spartans. This is one of those fun games. Of course, towns are not too far from each other. Some might not care for each other too much sometimes, so they have some fun with that. They got to play right away when Audubon dropped down to eight-man, and the Wheelers got the better of them that first time they got to play. But, yeah, Spartans are tough. I was impressed by Audubon last week, the way that they showed some resiliency. Skylar Schultes did get knocked out late in that first quarter. They brought in a freshman in Gavin Smith, and he played pretty well. He brought him back to within a lead by a point, and then they made some mistakes there late that cost him. Got in some bad situations. So I think they have a really good team. I think they're going to get better as the season moves along, as they get some of these new guys kind of mixed into the fold for them. And then once, you know, if they can get healthy and stay healthy. But I'm too impressed by the way the Spartans have started. So I'm going to go with them. I think they've got some good weapons in the backfield. Mr. Burmeister and Pettipierce played well at quarterback. They've shown some good toughness. So I'll go with Exira EHK here at home. Jim.
Well, I'm pretty impressed, actually, on both sides of the ball this year for both of these ball clubs, because they both lost some really talented skill position players from last year's teams. I mean, really, the leaders of their ball clubs graduated, but they've been able to find new ones this year. And so far, both teams have played pretty well. A little more adversity with injuries right now for Audubon, and I think Exira EHK at home will have an opportunity to win this one here tonight. I'm just going to say I pretty much agree with everything Doug has, because he's done all the preparation for this game leading into our show here
tonight.
And I'm
still 8-8.
But I'm going to agree with everything he says as long as he picks Exira EHK.
Okay. That's three for the Spartans. Doug?
Well, I'd like to go out on a limb, but, you know, and Audubon would be a decent team to certainly go out on a limb with. But, you know, I was impressed with the Spartans' defensive effort last week against the Cowboys from Sydney, you know, holding them only to 8 points. And with, you know, potential injury at quarterback there for Audubon, don't know if their quarterback will be back or not as of airtime for this show, or recording time, I should say. I'm going to take the Spartans at home.
I just like to say I agree.
Okay.
Yep.
Noted. Noted in the record. Spartans all across the board here. Let's get you another eight-man contest, and this is the Cam Cougars going on the road to take on Glidden-Ralston. Cam has opened up this season here in impressive fashion. I guess I get first go around here on this one. Both teams are 2-0 coming in here to the game. You know, a little bit more unfamiliar with Glidden-Ralston and what they have coming into this season. I know they've had a couple of years where they've kind of gone down from where they usually are. They're usually, a tough perennial team. But I've been impressed the way Cam has played here these first 2 weeks. They've been able to put some points up on the board. It seems like they haven't missed a beat there, despite, Thomas Hensley and Nick Holstey moving on to graduation. They've found the right offensive pieces, and I think they've got a good all-around tough team. That's an impressive win last week over Stanton, and I'm going to take the Cougars here to go on the road and pick one up. Jim.
I had a chance to have a nice, about a nice half-hour sit-down, just visit with a casual visit with Mitchell Williamson from Cam. Oh, early August, and he assured me that despite some pretty impressive losses from their team last year, they lost some pretty staunch skill players last year, that don't overlook them. They're going to be pretty good this year. So he's too big for me to fight, so I'm just going to agree with him.
All right. It's two for the Cougars. Doug?
Yeah, Cam's weapons they have, you know, running the ball. They've seemed to have found a good replacement for Thomas Hensley and Nate Hensley, who's really feeling pretty comfortable, I think, behind center. When you have the kids that can run the ball on the ground, then you've got a weapon at wide receiver like Preston Murphy, and then a quarterback that can get the ball to him. I think they can certainly put up some points against a lot of people, which they have done the first 2 weeks, scoring 50 at least each time. Glidden has got a kid who's kind of a do-it-all, it sounds like, in a Grant Borkowski, can run the ball and throw the ball too. I think if Cam can contain him, which I think they have the athletes to do, I think they're going to take this one pretty handily.
All right, another one for the Cougars. Matt?
Yeah, I think the one aspect of it is just it's a road game here for the Cougars, but last week, it was a pretty impressive win over Stanton. Stanton's had some decent teams the last few years. And with Drake Johnson this year, they've got another solid team. So to pull out a win last week, I think, was a good victory for the Cougars. And like Jim said, they've got a very tough ball club. And they're Glidden-Ralston. They're going to try to do a lot of it through the air, but they haven't been able to they've got 7 touchdowns and 1 interception, but their completion rate just isn't quite up there, and so I don't think they've played quite the quality opponents, so I'm going to go with the Cougars this week.
All right, a couple of sweeps here to start it off. We'll come back and talk another eight-man game after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's get some more picks in here for you. We'll stay an eight-man because this is our broadcast game here tonight as we will go down to Malvern. East Mills playing host to Griswold here this evening. And, Jim, you're going to get first look here at this one.
Yeah, I didn't have, with the holiday weekend, I didn't have a lot of time to dive deep into the statistics and stuff in these ball clubs. In fact, in this game, I didn't get any deeper than East Mills is 2-0 and Griswold's 0-2. I'm going with East Mills.
That's pretty sound logic there. Wolverines, that's one for them. Doug?
Yeah, East Mills does a lot of the damage, score a lot of points through the air. They've got a quarterback that has 9 TDs passing. You know, he does have 3 interceptions, you know, which happened last week, but definitely can throw the ball pretty well. It, you know, just look at the common opponent that they had. You know, Griswold lost East Union. And East Mills kind of thumped him. So I got to think that East Mills is going to be the pick here.
All right, that's a couple there for East Mills. Matt?
I'm going to go with East Mills as well. Griswold still transitioning here into eight-man football. You know, the other thing, too, is they're a little young. They had some of their upperclassmen that, through various reasons for injuries, concussions over the years, were not able to come out for football this year. So they're seem to be missing those players here. They had some good size to them so I just got to go with East Mills.
All right, it's another one there for East Mills, and I'm going to make it a sweep across the board as well. I think the Wolverines have some nice pieces. They've been able to throw the ball pretty well here so far. Michael Schaefer already over 500 yards passing here on the season and 9 touchdowns, just compared to 3 interceptions. So he's been pretty efficient. And yeah, Griswold, you know, it's just one of those tough transition years. They've had a few years here where their numbers have been down. You know, they've had the course of the last couple of seasons with the injuries, had to forfeit a couple of games. So it's been a struggle to get their program on the right footing. And yeah, they're very young this year. So it's been a tough transition to the eight-man game for them. I'm also going to take the Wolverines. We've got a Class A matchup here for you next, and it's a couple of teams that haven't seen a loss yet this season. HSTW goes on the road to take on Westwood. Doug, you get first look here at this one.
Well, Vikings have been impressive, you know, in both contests they've had this year so far. You know, of course, you've got Gabe Pauly is kind of a one-man wrecking crew, but you also have a good quarterback in Osbar, and then Derek Partridge is it Derek Partridge? Who's been a pretty was
Drake Partridge, not Derek.
I thought it was Keith.
Keith Partridge. I don't know. It's one of the Partridge family, but you know, they've had a couple impressive wins. Shout out Shenandoah last week. But Westwood is, you know, had a tight ball game. You know, so they kind of had that experience of having a closer contest under their belt a little bit. But I do like Westwood. They have a running back. His first name is Braulio, B-R-A-U-L-I-O. I think it's pronounced Braulio. Now, that's a name for
and
a running
spelling
back.
Spelling lesson, too.
Well, you know, there you go. But I kind of like that name. I mean, what a name for a running back, mm-hmm. I would say. That's pretty cool. But it's a long road trip for HSTW. You know, it's going to be a lot of time in the bus, but I think they can take this one.
All right, so we're going to go with the Vikings there. Thought that running back had convinced him there for a minute.
But I thought so, not. Too. That was getting close to getting me. But, yeah, he's right with the running back. Westwood is going to run the ball. They've maybe thrown the ball a handful of times in the first two games. They're definitely going to do it on the ground, which I think plays into the Vikings, HSDW, the Vikings, into their card there. They've got a pretty good run-stop defense with their linebacker crew. And like it's already been said, I think they've got a good ground game as well, and they've been able to mix it up with their pass in there. So I'll look for HSTW to stay undefeated this week.
All right, that's another one there for the Vikings. And I'm going to make it three. I do think this might be the toughest test that HSTW has faced so far yet this season. We'll say that. Westwood, that nice opening win over Akron Westfield, who are traditionally a tough program, but the Vikings have a lot of the right pieces, and they've been impressive so far with what they've been able to do on both sides of the ball. You know, anytime you can shut somebody out is a good week, but you also put up 45 points. So I like the way that they're playing. They're going to have a good chance to make a good run this year. Jim.
Yeah, exactly what Matt had said earlier is where I was going with this, too. Westwood likes to run the football, and HSTW has had to line up defensively over the years with some of the best rushing teams in the state, and Madrid and others. So it plays right into what they like to do, and they do it well. So I'm going to go with HSTW on this. And, oh, by the way, I was always partial to Lori Partridge.
Okay.
Well, being that I wasn't born when I guess I'm not familiar with that. The rest of us may not be, Jim.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
There's the gray hair kicking in.
All right, we've got another Class A team involved in a game coming up here next. It's an A-1A matchup. Nottoway Valley goes on the road to take on ACGC, both teams looking for their first win. Who's going to change for, Matt?
Well, yeah, interesting ball game here you put on the sheet here, Chris. Couple of 0-2 teams out of the gates. Nottoway Valley's played a pretty tough schedule their first two games, and even with that said, though, they've had issues of just moving the ball. Maybe 20 yards of passing and roughly 100 yards rushing in the first two games. So with that being said, I like the way Adair Casey Guthrie Center. I like the way they've come out, even though they have two losses. They've been competitive in the games. They've got a new young coaching staff in there. They're not going to throw the ball as well. They do everything on the ground. And so I think just in the first two games, I think ACGC has just shown more signs of being able to move the ball and get it into the end zone.
All right. That's one for the Chargers. And, this is a game, definitely two teams that have struggled here the past few years. They've struggled kind of the same things. You know, offensively, it's been a problem for them to try to get something jump-started. I think for ACGC coming into the year, they knew that they had a lot of young players. Obviously, with a new coaching staff, you know, maybe it takes some time to start to get your footing and figure things out a little bit. And I think they look at this as here's an opportunity. You know, this is a game we can go win on our home field and try to, you know, build a little bit of positivity around what we're doing. So Ben Kingery's been fairly decent on the ground when they've given him a chance. So I like the Chargers as well. I think they'll pick one up here. Jim.
Yeah, this is interesting. One team can't throw, one team can't run. Yep. Where do we go with this? Well, this is one of those games where I'm going to throw a wacky audible out there. I'm going to go with ACGC, and my reasoning behind that is because I got to draw the lightning bolt on my sheet here. For those that don't know, they use the ACDC lightning bolt in between the ACGC, so I think that's cool. I'm going with ACGC.
It is cool. Finally, the school district got something right when they...
Chargers? Is that what
Chargers,
yeah.
Chargers,
yep. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Power reference there.
Good stuff, yeah. Doug, is it going to be a sweep here?
Yeah, this is I'm sure people have turned this off by now. This is a boring show so far. We're all the same. We'll have to start mixing that up here in a little bit, maybe. I'm going to take the Chargers.
All right. So Chargers across the board. Yeah, we haven't done anything different so far. We've got one more game here that we'll pick before we take another break, and this is a cross-class battle. Kemper Catholic and Glenwood, a 2A, 3A matchup as Kemper goes on the road to take on Glenwood. Both teams are 1-1 here to start off the season. I guess I get first crack here at this one. This is an interesting game. Both teams, I think, you know, have some good pieces. Kemper has played a tough schedule here so far. They, of course, beat St. Albert that opening week and then lost to a real tough South Central Calhoun team. Glenwood also has had a pretty tough schedule. They were able to eke one out over Carroll and then lost one last week to Bishop Heelan. They gave up kind of the points late in that game to fall in that one. I think Glenwood knew coming into the season that, you know, it was going to be a struggle for a bit to figure things out. They lost some, you know, huge pieces to what they were about and, you know, how they would play from last year's team. They've been able to, you know, have a couple weeks to get that under their belt. This is a good opponent, but I'm sure they look at this as a great opportunity to try to, you know, pick up one of those marquee wins for them. I'm going to give the edge to the home team. I'm going to take Glenwood here in this one, but I think it'll be a real good game, another one of those ones that comes down to the wire. Jim.
There's a shock. The Glenwood grad just took Glenwood. Go figure. Well, I figured that was coming. I'm going to go with Kemper Catholic here in this one. I've just been more impressed with their performance here so far early this season. And as Chris said, Glenwood did lose a few more players after last year's team, so, you know, still kind of figuring it out. I think it's an opportunity for Kemper Catholic to kind of put one up there. As far as the playoffs go, this has no impact for Kemper Catholic because they're playing up with the new system that they're using for playoffs this year. So I think it's just an opportunity to go out and make a statement. So I'm going to give them the advantage here. And by the way, Doug, you think that's the reason people are turning us off?
No. It's probably because I'm only 8-8. I think that's why. Bad picks.
All right. We've split it up so far. Doug?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Both teams won their first week, lost their second week. You know, I think they both really struggle with turnovers. Kemper had 4 interceptions and a fumble against South Central Calhoun. Glenwood had 5 fumbles against Heelan. You know, and they were both playing quality opponents. You're just not going to be able to win those games if you're turning the ball over and giving them extra chances. So I think it just really comes down to who's going to value the ball a little bit more this week. You know, I'm going to give the edge to Glenwood being at home. I just think the difference may be in enrollment size and athletes, maybe just 1 or 2 extra here or there. Kipper's a great club, and I look forward to Atlantic playing and beating them later this year. But I'm going to take Glenwood.
All right, it's a couple for the Rams. Matt, we're going to split this even apart? Or?
Well, I don't know. We can talk through it and see how we're doing on time
okay.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
We got a little windy last week somehow with only 3 of
here.
Us. So.
Well, I think you've got Glenwood. They're just going to stay true to what they are, and that's just going to run the ball. Last week, Bishop Heelan forced them to throw the ball, and they just weren't successful with it, completing about 30% of their passes. So anyway, that's what Glenwood's going to do. Kemper, on the other hand, they've kind of switched things up a little bit, and they're just going to try to spread you out from sideline to sideline, throw the ball, and every now and then sprinkle in a run and hope they can find a seam and get down there. But like Doug said, you know, last week it was turnovers, and we saw that in quite a few games. Turnovers were key in there. So it's going to be who can eliminate the turnovers. I think Glenwood, you know, they played a pretty tough Heelan ball club, and even with the, did you say 4 or 5 fumbles that they had, they still kept it close in the 21-7 score. So I think the edge does go to Glenwood. I think they're I'm just been surprised that they haven't got that Noah Carter going. I mean, he's a big guy.
He's a beast.
Yeah, and he only has 128 yards in the first 2 games. And so I'm just really surprised. So I look for him to really open up this week, and I think he'll probably have a big game. But I think Glenwood, they had a lot of guys up front they had to replace. They had some good linemen up front that definitely had to be replaced. So in Corey Foss, he'll get it going for him. So he'll make those adjustments. So I think Glenwood this week again.
All right. So Jim's going to be out on a limb there with Kemper Catholic on that one. So we finally mix it up a little bit here on the program.
You're welcome.
Thank you. A couple more picks to come here in just a moment after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life, and then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. We've got a couple games left here on the sheet. Let's go to Class 3A, and this is an interesting matchup now here with a 1-1 team in Harlan and a 1-1 team in Carroll coming in here to this week number 3 matchup. I don't know that everybody thought it would be that way, but it should be interesting. Jim, you get first look here at this one.
Oh, I just don't find it all that interesting.
I like Harlan. Okay. I'll take Harlan in this one. They suffered that loss last week, but that's a pretty good SBL team they played, and they played them tough. I like Harlan. I think Harlan's more... I think they're more well-rounded than Carroll is right now. So go with Cyclones. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Doug. All
right. Yeah, you know, Carroll suffered a close loss against Glenwood in the first week. You know, only lost by 3 to a team that I was just saying was, I thought, fairly decent team. You know, they are playing at home, but I don't know. I picked against Harlan last time, and so I picked with Harlan, and they burned me. Maddie was right on the Tracksters on Sergeant Bluff Luton, but I just think Carroll doesn't have that speed that Sergeant Bluff does. So I'm going to take the Cyclones.
All right,
no swagger.
That's 2 for the Cyclones.
No swagger for them.
No swagger for Carroll. All right. Well, I guess that's my turn now. I think. Carroll, they almost pulled off a nice win in that first week against Glenwood, back and forth, let the field goal happen in there. But, you know, like Jim already alluded to, Harlan was ahead a lot in that game and allowed Sergeant Bluff Luton to come back right at the end. You had definitely 2 top 10 teams in Class 3A that were going at it last week. And so for it to be a 34-32 game says a lot about both teams in there. So with that, you know, being said, I think it'd be a big shocker if Carroll was able to come up with the victory. Although it is at home for them. But I look for Harlan to come out, and for Harlan, this is one of those games. Maybe it's early on, but are they going to be able to get to the dome later in the season? So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. You know, you're going to get to the dome, got to win this game probably. So for Harlan, this is kind of one of those must wins early in the season, I think, if they want their season to end up the way that they had hoped. It is going to be tougher, I think, that it's on the road. You know, they got the new stadium up there, everything looking all shiny and neat up there in Carroll. So that gives them a little bit extra motivation. But, it's hard to pick. It's hard to imagine Harlan losing 2 straight weeks here early in the season. So. Going to take the Cyclones as well, and we'll go ahead and make it a clean sweep here across the board. So that's Harlan in that one. We'll move on to a Class 1A and 2A matchup here between Clarinda and Atlantic, as Atlantic stays home at the Trojan Bowl, trying to bounce back from that loss last week to Creston. Doug?
It's kind of a step back for Atlantic last week. They showed some good things. It was pretty close competitive ball game, I think, through the first half. I think Creston's size kind of wore us down up front, maybe on both sides of the ball in the second half of that game. Be interesting to see how the big boys up front respond to that. I think the coaches will have them schematically correct, and they, you know, they'll show some pride with that, and I think Clarinda has got a couple running backs that have been out now. They've lost their second running back in as many weeks last game. So I think being at home, and I think Atlantic's offensive weapons are just a little bit, and athletes are a little bit too too much for Clarinda. So it might be a closer game at first, but I think Atlantic will pull away.
All right, one for the Trojans. Matt?
Okay. Just definitely be if we can stop the run. That's what Clarinda's going to do. They're going to put Scholl back there in that I backfield, power I, and just let him run the ball, hand it off to him right and left. And so if we can stop that, I think the Trojans will come out on top. Clarinda has not been very successful at all throwing the ball in the first two games. And so they haven't shown any signs of changing that, where I think Atlantic is a lot more diversified in that aspect. They can throw the ball, run the ball. And I look for this game to be one to bounce back. And, last week was just, that first half with some of the turnovers, the two fumbles and the interception, it's a different ball game going into halftime. And, that score before half and then Crescent coming out and scoring right away down the field on that little six-minute drive, that just took the wind out of the sails, and it took a little bit before we could recover and get a few more scores there towards the end. So, Atlantic bounces back in a good fashion and gets ready.
All right. That's a couple there for the Trojans. I think this sets up well as a good kind of bounce-back game for Atlantic. A game that I thought that they could win anyways, but with Clarinda being a little bit banged up, I think that was one of the kind of head-turner games last week of that slate that we had with Red Oak being able to pull off that win there against Clarinda. So I like the Trojans here. I think they can, take care of the football, and you'll be fine. So I'll go with the Trojans. Jim?
So Clarinda beat Shenandoah. Clarinda lost to Red Oak. My question is, when do we get to play Shenandoah?
At the end of the year.
We do.
No, I mean, Atlantic competed. Doug said it right there. The line play was the difference last week, and there's just more depth there for Creston. They were a little bit bigger, a little stronger, and they had a few more bodies out there to throw in. I think when you start competing against 1A, 2A schools, I think Atlantic's going to fare very well. So I like Atlantic in this one. Easy, actually. I think this will be a nice bounce-back win for them.
All right, so that's the Trojans across the board. And, when we came back from the break, I said we had two more games to pick. I lied because there is one other one we always throw in here. This is our annual tiebreaker here for the season. We usually know how the Allegiance is going to come out with as far as a pick is concerned, but we also throw in the total points, too, as well, to make sure we get that tiebreaker taken care of. We've had that mistake happen before. So we'll go back around the horn here. Let's see. It'd be Matt's turn to start it off, so...
Okay, well, I'll go with the Iowa Hawkeyes. And total points in the game, let's go with 48.
48. All right. I am going to go with the road team. I think Iowa State, despite not being able to play a game in week one, they look good in the 5 minutes that I got to see. So
got those suspensions served.
Got the suspensions out of the way. So, everything's good there.
Wait, does that count?
It does. Yeah. It does for suspensions.
It does at Iowa State.
Hey, we're just following those Big Ten teams' lead, right? They know how to get that stuff taken care of. Iowa State, I'm going to go, I was thinking right in the same range. I'm going to go 42. I'll go a little bit less. Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to take Iowa. I just think it's a huge advantage having that first game under your belt already and being able to work through some things and actually creating some depth, because Iowa's got really two real stud offensive tackles and even young guys that neither one of them played last week. They were both suspended. They'll be back this week. We struggled in that tackle spot early in that football game last week, but they got better as the game went on. In the second half, you could see they were starting to figure things out and things really went a different direction. I do think that's a big advantage, though, for Iowa. Timing-wise, there's so many things that you just can't prep for in practice that you need to get game experience for. I like Iowa, and let's just make it an even 50.
All right. Doug.
Well, everybody thinks there's going to be some points scored, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to take Iowa State, and that'd be stupid not to go 43. Sorry, Chris, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to score that many points. We'll see. I mean, Iowa State will
probably
State
score
won't. Like. Well, no, Iowa State was going to score like 41. They're going to give Iowa like one or something. I'm going to take Iowa State with 43 total points.
All right, there we go. Split it up. Hard to believe. Couldn't believe that happened.
I was surprised by that. Again, year after year, I'm shocked by that.
People are just waiting on the edge of their seats. Man, I wonder who they're going to pick this year. All right, that's going to wrap up who's going to win here for week number three. Thanks to Anishina Valley Credit Union, Ag Business Associates for bringing you the program. We've got football coming at you. Eight-man play tonight. It'll be East Mills hosting Griswold. We'll have that one for you. Mike Smith will be joining me for the broadcast. We'll get going at 6:30, the pregame, and 7 o'clock kickoff here on KJN. That's going to do it for who's going to win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Anishina Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Anishina Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Anishina Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.